We've got all the power, all the resource of the Omnipotent One living within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within every Christian. And I don't care how dark the days are, I don't care how dark the cultures become, how much we see, as we ought to see, that these are Noah-like days that precede judgment. We don't know how long we've got, but we're to be like Noah, preachers of righteousness, walking with God, righteous, blameless, walking with God. And we can, and we should. And it's a great privilege. And I think of Noah. He preached all that time and didn't see anyone come to the Savior. Didn't see anyone come to real salvation. He and his family got on the ark and were saved. But today we're seeing such harvest in the midst of impending judgment. We ought to be all the more zealous to walk with God, righteous, blameless in our time.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series through the book of Genesis. Pastor Scott brings a message titled Moral Corruption and Rampant Violence. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, tonight, I want to just look briefly in verses 5 through 12, God's description of society and God's description of Noah. In both cases, we're dealing with God's description. We don't have to go by what we see. In fact, verse 5, the Lord saw. Verse 11, in the sight of God. Verse 12, God looked on the earth. Verse 8, the eyes of the Lord. So we don't have to go by what man would have seen. We've got recorded for us what God saw in society and in Noah. In a word, and maybe that's all I have time for tonight, in society, ungodly. And in Noah, godly. But let's take a quick look at it. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. And Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. And then he gave him instruction on how to build the ark. What did God see when he looked at society? What man was pretty excited about? Mighty men, men of renown. And things seemed to be going forward from man's view, perhaps. And you know, today, man is still pretty excited about man. And a lot of people still thrilled with what man can accomplish and man's might and man's renown. What did God see? Well, in a nutshell, two things that we saw just reading it repeatedly. Moral corruption and rampant violence. Moral corruption and rampant violence. Look at verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. The idea is that moral corruption brings ruin. The thought behind this word corrupt is destruction. In Hosea, when he was describing Israel's harlotry and her unfaithfulness, and he used that kind of language to describe her, he uses this term, and it's translated that they'd gone deep in depravity. Destruction is, it's also translated in Hosea. Exodus, when the Israelites, when Moses was up on the mountain, the people made the false god, and they got up and they ate and they drank and they rose up to play, it says. And God said, "Get down there, Moses. My people have corrupted themselves. They ruined." Turn over to Jeremiah. Just look at Jeremiah real quickly. Jeremiah 13. Moral corruption ruins. And you find a little picture of it in Jeremiah's day, and it's a good picture in the sense that it ought to be a reminder to us. "Thus the Lord said to me, 'Go and buy yourself a linen waistband and put it around your waist, but do not put it in water.'" Get yourself a nice new linen waistband. Put it around your waist, Jeremiah. "So I bought the waistband in accordance with the word of the Lord and put it around my waist." You know, God would often with these prophets give them pictures to act out, so to speak, so that people, that Israel could not miss what he was saying, and that the prophet himself would understand what God was saying. And so he said, "Okay, get this linen waistband, put it around your waist." And Jeremiah said, "Well, I did. I did what he said, and I put it around my waist." "Then the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, 'Take the waistband that you have bought, which is around your waist, and arise. Go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in a crevice of the rock. Go down to the river, and bury this thing. Hide it in the crevice of a rock in the mudland down by the river." So first of all, he said, "Take that linen and keep it dry. Don't let any water get on it. Then take it off and put it in the crevice of a rock." So I went, verse 5, "and hid it by the Euphrates as the Lord had commanded me. And it came about after many days that the Lord said to me, 'Arise, go to the Euphrates and take from there the waistband which I commanded you to hide there.'" Go dig that thing up. "Well, then I went to the Euphrates and dug, and I took the waistband from the place where I had hidden it. And lo, the waistband," what do you suppose? It was ruined. Linen, for many days, down by the river in the muck. As I was reading this and thinking on it, I thought of how as a kid we'd play down by the creek in our town, and the backwater around, anywhere around a river, is the stench and the filth that collect. And you go take a fine linen waistband and bury it down by the Euphrates. What's going to happen? Well, he says, "Lo, the waistband was ruined." That's the word. Corrupted. Corrupted. Ruined. Worthless. And that's what he says. It was totally worthless. You see there? "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, just so I will destroy the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem, this wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who walk in the stubbornness of their hearts and have gone after other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. Let them be just like this waistband, which is totally worthless.'" That's strong language from God. But that's the language that God uses when he describes all flesh in the days of Noah. Corrupt, worthless, ruined. And notice, look back now at Genesis 6 and don't miss, that when the Lord looked on the earth, behold, it was ruined, corrupted. All flesh had corrupted their way. And hence, the judgment would be on all flesh. I take it that there was what we would call normal immorality, rampant, moral corruption. I take it, as I read in my Bible, that from early on, God had to prohibit things he didn't even like to mention hardly. If a male lies with a male, they should be put to death. I take it there was rampant homosexuality. And I take it that there was rampant bestiality, which he prohibits and has to speak of in the same chapter in Leviticus 20. Because God brought judgment on all flesh. Verse 7, I will blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. Verse 13, then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And that brings us to the next thing that goes hand in hand with moral corruption, and it always does. Rampant violence. You know, the Bible student is not surprised today to see that as we have plunged into immorality of every sort, and not just what we might call normal immorality, which has been throughout history, but as we've plunged into that sort of thing, and as we've plunged into perversion, and to where I could say that today in our culture, more and more you see the leanings toward bestiality. The Bible student isn't surprised that when you see this kind of moral corruption, you also see rampant violence in our culture. That's what you had in the days of Noah. Verse 11, the earth was filled with violence. Verse 13, God said the earth is filled with violence. You know, today, on the one hand, we've got immorality and amorality and pleasure seeking and drugs and corruption and just man just seeking to fulfill himself any way he wants, just plunging on heedless to the word of God, not listening to any standards. And we have, hand in hand with it, violence and crime and the killing of children in the womb, slaughtering the innocent. And you have violence on every front. I told you a couple weeks ago, I think we were in Romans, when I said that I was going to keep track, take a couple of days and do a little clipping out of the newspaper, and I gave up as I just tried to track the violence. And, you know, this week, as I'm reading this and thinking about the days of Noah, I turn on the evening news, and what do you see? More of the same. And always fresh. It's constant. If it isn't a serial murder, it's a serial rapist. And if it isn't wanton violence over here, it's sadistic, kinky, all these words that have come into our culture and into our vernacular, it's just sick. And we look around and we say, what's wrong? We have a death culture, they call it. It's like the days of Noah. Moral corruption, rampant violence, filled with violence, the scripture says. In Noah's day, great wickedness. You know, we ought to let the word of God just speak to us. Verse 5, he saw that the wickedness was great. And today, you look at our world, and I'd have to say the same thing. I'm thrilled, and I rejoice, and I say, and I would encourage you to be praying for the things we talked about tonight. And it is exciting that we can be using the technology today to get the word of God out, that people are listening 120 times a day, the broadcast of the word of God, and that right now it's being broadcast. We didn't even know it hardly, you know, and the web and all these things that we're using, and praise the Lord for what he's doing. But we know that the broad path of the web, the big commercial success on the internet, is pornography, moral corruption. And like an octopus with tentacles, it's reaching into every corner of life with sin and great wickedness. And so man takes his abilities, his renownness, his might, and uses it for evil. And that's the way we see it today. And you know, as I said, we can see it. You don't have to rely on our sight, though. God saw it. God saw it and he described it. But I will say this, we do need to rely on God's sight because there's a sense in which, turn back to Matthew 24 for just a minute. Matthew 24. You know, society kept up a pretense in Noah's day, and it still does today. We really do need to rely on God's sight because we can see it if we stop and really think, and particularly if we have biblical eyeglasses on, so to speak. You know, if we look at life through the grid of Scripture, but if we don't, and most people aren't, and sadly most Christians aren't, why then we start to see things and the pretense and the false facade can kind of get hold of us. And they kept up a pretense. You remember Jesus, verse 37, the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Now, Jesus described the days of Noah as still sort of normal. Eating, drinking, there's nothing wrong with that. Marrying, nothing wrong with that. Giving in marriage. In fact, those were still going on. And today in our culture, in the midst of all the corruption and in the midst of all the violence, people are still moving along. The economy's clicking. We don't have to worry. And we keep kind of a facade of normalcy. And that's the way it was in Noah's day. It didn't really seem like to everybody that judgment was just ready to fall. It seemed like things don't get so worked up, Noah. And in fact, for 120 years, while he built the ark, he was a preacher of righteousness. And we talked about it last week. They didn't listen. For 120 years, how long has that old coot been saying that? Noah, you've been saying that since the Nixon administration. You know, you've been saying that since, you can just hear it, couldn't you? How they just mock. Things have always been this way. It's not as bad as you think. And we're just moving along. Verse 38. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. If I were to finish the description of Noah's day, that's how I would finish it. That word until. They were a warned generation, but they did not listen until judgment fell. Until the day Noah got on the ark. Now, very briefly, let me just, it's like a breath of fresh air, and so I want you to look at it. Back in chapter 6, look at the description of Noah. In the midst of these days, look at the description of Noah. Verse 8, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The old King James. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Oh, what a privilege it is to look at Noah in the midst of those days. Here was a man with a threefold description. Look at it. He was righteous, he was blameless, and he walked with God. He was righteous. Righteousness comes through faith. The only righteousness that will stand before God is that which is found by faith. In fact, we're told in Hebrews that he became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He believed God like Abraham did, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. That was Godward. Manward, he lived an upright life. He was righteous in his dealings. In a world of wickedness, he was upright. In a world of immorality, he was moral. In a world of dishonesty, he was honest. In a world of corruption and violence, you could depend on Noah's word. You could trust Noah to do the upright thing. He was blameless in his time, we're told. Blameless, that term is used of the Lord himself. As for God, his way is blameless, Psalm 18, verse 30. Noah reflected the character of God in an ungodly day. How was he able to be that kind of a man? Third thing about him, he walked with God. We looked at that with Enoch. And I said then, you can walk with God no matter how dark the days are. Noah lived in dark, ungodly, wicked, violent, immoral, amoral, perverted days. Don't you say, oh, it's hard, I can't. It's hard to live an upright life. In fact, it's almost impossible in the 90s. No. No. God is with us. And we've been called to walk with God. And God Almighty enables us to walk lives that are pleasing to Him. I think I'd look over at chapter 17 just for a second. And listen to the command that God gave Abraham. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I like that. God is still God Almighty, and He still calls you and I to walk before Him blameless. We've got all the power, all the resource of the Omnipotent One living within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within every Christian. And I don't care how dark the days are, I don't care how dark the cultures become, how much we see, as we ought to see, that these are Noah-like days that precede judgment. We don't know how long we've got, but we're to be like Noah, preachers of righteousness, walking with God, righteous, blameless, walking with God. And we can, and we should. And it's a great privilege. And I think of Noah, he preached all that time and didn't see anyone come to the Savior. Didn't see anyone come to real salvation. He and his family got on the ark and were saved. But today we're seeing such harvest in the midst of impending judgment. We ought to be all the more zealous to walk with God, righteous, blameless in our time.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Moral Corruption and Rampant Violence, a message from our series Through the Book of Genesis. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're excited at Southwest Bible Church to be able to minister to our community through Adventure Camp. It's an all-day themed camp for kids K through 5th grade, meeting all summer long. For more information or to register online, look us up on the web at adventurecampkids.org or give Southwest Bible a call at 503-524-7000. During this COVID-19 outbreak, we're all doing many things differently than before. Nearly all of us, it seems, have switched over to online resources, whether that be simply more time listening to the radio or worshiping online through live streams. And we're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station, and we invite you to downtownbible.org to download or listen to any program or subscribe to our daily podcast. We want to remind you that during this time, the Wednesday gathering at the Portland Art Museum is still on hold. We'll keep you informed as to when the closure is lifted. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live, or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also simultaneously broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 AM. This ongoing crisis has caused shortfalls in finances for this ministry. Would you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? It's only through the generous gifts of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
And if you turn back to Genesis 6, you know, last time we saw that the days of Noah, in a nutshell, you could say, great wickedness. Great wickedness. In fact, that's exactly what the Lord said. The Lord saw, verse 5, the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Corruption, immorality, perversion, rampant violence characterized the day. And we saw in the midst of that, Noah, look at verse 8, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Genesis. Pastor Scott brings the first of a four-part message titled, The Faith of Noah. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.